5. Don't know how long this will take us this evening. This is the tail end of this morning's sermon, which was supposed to be last Sunday evening's sermon. So this might be a little bit shorter than what we normally have, but we're not worried about time. If it is, it is. But Galatians chapter 5, we'll read this passage again that says in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." And so this morning we talked some more about the importance of being filled with the Spirit, and how that if it's wrong to be drunk with wine, then it means it's wrong not to be filled with the Spirit. That's the other side of that verse. And how if we are saved and then we want to be what God wants us to be, we want to change, we want to grow, we want to know His Word. And why do we want to do that? Well, to be pleasing to Him because of what He's done for us, not to keep our salvation, but because of our salvation, we want to do that. And so if we want to do that, we should have that desire to have these fruits in our life, the fruit of the Spirit. And something else that I think is interesting is this. If you'll remember, I said that we all have what we need to have all of these, all of the fruit of the Spirit. Not everybody does for different reasons, but it's possible for us to have that. And what I think is significant about that is this. You notice that it does not say, I've been using this word, and it's, I don't know that it's wrong. I think that you understand the way that I'm using it, but once in a while I will say, referring to these, one of the fruits of the Spirit. But I want you to notice that it says in verse 22, but the fruit. It doesn't say fruits, plural. It just says the fruit, which means which means they all go together. It is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. We do see multiple things listed, but the Bible doesn't say the fruits. It's kind of like we would say a basket of fruit. Now, there might be bananas, apples, and grapes, and strawberries, and all that in there, but we wouldn't say, here's a basket of fruits, you know. We say, here is a basket of fruit. Why? Because we're putting it all together. It all belongs in there. Well, this is the fruit of the Spirit. It all belongs together. And this all belongs together in our lives, and we can have all of these, and we ought to have all of these. And if you examine yourself and find even one thing on this list that you're lacking or you're falling behind more than another area, maybe you look at something and say, you know what, my joy and my peace is doing pretty good, but you know, my long-suffering, or I'm not so sure about my gentleness or my meekness or my... Maybe you look at this list and say there's an area here where I'm kind of slipping back and I'm just not being who God wants me to be in that area. If God shows that to you and convicts you of that as we study through this, then it's time to just be honest about it and say, God, yes, you're right. I need to work on that area. Would you help me to do so? And so this morning we looked at love and how God is love, and if we belong to Him, and then we ought to have love. And He told us that if we were His, we would love each other the way that He loves us. And that's how we would know that we're saved, because we love one another. We love the brethren. And we ought to be willing to give our lives for one another. Christ gave His life for us. And if we're going to love each other the way that He loved us, then we ought to be that willing. And so, how do I do that? You remember whenever we closed this morning, what we looked at was this. In this passage where it says in verse 26, provoking one... let us... No, that's not where we were. It was when we were in Ephesians. Ephesians, I think it was, chapter 5, and it says, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then when we were in, find that, when we were in Galatians chapter 5, in the last verse, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Notice how Paul's talking about how we treat one another, okay? And we, Ephesians chapter 4, it says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Okay? So whenever we're having a hard time getting along with somebody or loving somebody, that's where the long suffering comes in, which we'll talk about later on, but that's where that comes in, and we have to stop and say, you know what? Christ loves them as much as He loves me. They struggle with things. I struggle with things. I get upset about something that is in their life, but I ought not because I have things in my life. And whenever we just start to look at each other and realize, you know what, we're all in this boat together, and we all brought some baggage with us. It might be a different type, and God's helping us sort through that and pitch overboard what needs to go overboard and straighten up what needs to be straightened up. And, you know, whenever we realize that, then it makes it a little bit easier for us to kind of cut each other some slack, doesn't it? And to love each other and try to pick each other up and grab each other underneath the arm and say, come on, I'll help you. Then we can foster that love between ourselves that God wants us to have. But tonight we're going to move on here and look at joy. Pardon me. We'll look at joy. You've heard me say this before. You've probably heard other preachers say it before. It's been used many times. Maybe it's getting worn, but it still stands true. Joy, Jesus, others, and yourself. In that order. You start with Jesus, and then you move on to others, and you put yourself last. And does the world today, well, not the world, because they don't care about Jesus, but some Christians or professing Christians, or maybe they're saved, they're just carnal Christians, it would seem that they have a lot of yaj in their life, don't they? Yourself, others, and then Jesus last. Or some would be yourself and then Jesus, and then maybe I might get around to somebody else. But Jesus, others, and yourself is a wonderful thing to remember to remind ourselves how to have that joy in our lives. You know that if we would just... you know how you have something going on in your life and you say, I just need to get my mind off of it? I just need to get my mind off of that. I just need to quit dwelling on that. I can't do anything. It's a situation that I can't do anything about, and I just need to get my mind off of it. You know, you're sitting there you see all the stuff on the news that just drags us down and drags us down and drags us down, and it's even worse. It's even worse, it seems like, in an election year. It's just every time you turn, it's everywhere, isn't it? I mean, we're just bombarded every time you turn it. It's a mess. And sometimes you say, I just need to shut this off. I just need to not watch this and not listen to this and not read the paper for a while and just, I've got my eyes in the wrong place. Well, we find a lot of times that we need to just get our minds off of something and get them on something else. Well, one of the best ways to get our minds off of things that are troubling us is to get our minds on somebody else. How can I help somebody? You say, oh, I've got a lot of problems. Yeah, a lot of people around you have a lot of problems. Some problems that we have that we've done what we can do and we're just leaving it up to God. You know what? While you're waiting, why not try to help somebody else? Maybe you're their answer. Maybe God's going to use you to help somebody else in something that they're going through. But the thing is this, if we would busy ourselves, not being busybodies in other people's business, we're talking about helping one another, looking after one another, caring about one another, praying about one another. You know the old saying, it's hard to stay upset with somebody you're praying for. You know, praying for somebody specifically by name. If we would busy ourselves with looking after one another and taking care of one another and loving one another, a lot of times we'll find that we're so busy doing that, we forget what had us upset to start with. Have you ever been, maybe I'm the only dummy that does this, but have you ever been kind of upset or troubled about something? You're driving down the road and you're thinking about something, it's kind of upsetting you, you get distracted, and you forgot what was upsetting you. Have you ever done this and thought, what was that I was thinking about? You ever done that? You think, what was that I was... You really are trying to... Why go back? If it's important, it'll come. But why try... I've done that, and I've thought, I was really upset about something. It was really bothering me. Now, what was it? Boy, humans are stupid, aren't we? Man, why go back? Why try to stir that up? But you see, we get our mind on other people. We get our mind on Jesus and serving Him and then serving each other and ministering to each other and put ourselves last. And you know what? We probably just keep ourselves so busy that by the time we got to ourselves, we didn't have any time left. And we find that God's already worked things out for us before we even got there, before we even got to that page. You know, well, this page is... this is Jesus, and then this page here, this is others, and then I'm so busy that by the time I get back to my page, I don't have any time left, but I realize a lot of it's been erased. God's taken care of it along the way. But the joy is missing in a lot of Christians' lives because we've, for one, we've stopped doing this, and we have concentrated more on our own problems than we have on Christ, and we've taken our eyes off of where it belongs, and we've put our minds and our eyes on the circumstances around us and on the things of the world. And boy, how crazy is it to worry about something that you can't do anything about? You know, Jesus said, I'm not going to quote this word for word, but Jesus said basically, you can't even make yourself any taller by worrying about how short you are. That's backwoods translation there. But basically, he said, you know, how if you can't add one cubit to your stature by thinking about it and fretting over it, you know, there are just things you can't do anything about. Things that you can't do anything about, and we have to just let God take care of those things. But we get so wrapped up in those things, don't we? I mean, we just get so wrapped up in them. But let's look at 1 John chapter 1, if you would, tonight. We look at joy. 1 John chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life, talking about Jesus. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. You know, church, sometimes the joy is just missing because we just forget the simplicity of salvation. Sometimes the joy is just missing because we look at the things going on around us and we just forget right here what John wrote. That which was from the beginning, the Son of God, the very Son of God, which we have heard, he said, we heard his words, we heard his preaching, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. And then verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. He said, we told you the gospel. We heard it and got saved. We told it to you and you got saved. And he said, we declare unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Would you not agree that sometimes we as Christians start to lose our joy or lose part of our joy because we just get our eyes off of the plain, wonderful truth that we've been redeemed? Sometimes we just get so wrapped up in everything that we forget to step back and say, wait a minute now, I am saved. I am on my way to heaven. I am born again. I am not going to see the flames. And sometimes when our joy begins to fade, we'll find that it's because we have forgotten. We have forgotten. We have for a while taken our minds off of that blessed truth, off of that blessed hope that I've been redeemed. I've been born again. How could that truth ever get old to a believer? How could that ever become mediocre? Everything else ought pale in comparison to that. You say, well, you don't understand. This is falling apart and that's falling apart and I'm having trouble here. Yeah, but you're saved and you're going to heaven. And you know that if you're saved, whether that problem that you're in right now gets fixed or not, you're still going to heaven. That trial that you're going through, you're still going to go to heaven. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, this thing that you're going through, what if this thing that you're going through is the thing that actually takes you out of this world? What if this thing that you're going through is a type of sickness or something, and God doesn't choose to remove that from you? What if that thing is the thing that takes you, what if that doesn't get fixed? Well, how could I have any joy knowing that maybe this sickness or this illness or whatever might take my life? Well, you could have joy because you know that, you know what, whether it gets fixed or not, the end result one day is going to be the same. I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. Maybe something will take me there 20 years earlier than if I didn't have it, but the end result is now or 20 years from now, I am going to heaven because I'm saved, because I'm born again. Church, we just lose our joy because we look in the wrong places. We take our eyes off of what matters. Since we cannot lose our salvation, how could we lose our joy? When our joy is so dependent upon the fact that we're saved and going home, if that's not going to change, why would we ever allow our joy to change? Why would we ever allow this to happen? Well, sometimes we just put our eyes in the wrong place. But you see, as I said before, we derive joy from putting others first and being in fellowship with other believers. Okay, so where does this joy come from? Well, knowing that I'm saved, like we just read here, my joy can be full because I know that I'm saved. I know I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. But also, when I put other people first, Philippians chapter 2, I put other people first. Some people are just so giving of themselves, of their time, of their efforts, of their energy, of their finances, of their resources. You know, giving is not just financial, but some people are just so giving in thousands of ways that sometimes it's foreign to some of us, and we might ask the question, aren't you afraid of being taken advantage of? Aren't you afraid that somebody's going to take advantage of you? Aren't you afraid they're going to walk all over you? Well, you know what? Give of yourselves, and I guarantee you, you'll be taken advantage of. Give of yourself, and I guarantee you, you will be walked on. I guarantee you right now that if you give of yourself to others and care about others and love others and give unto others your time, your efforts, your energy, your finances, whatever it might be, your time in prayer, I guarantee you somebody, and maybe multiple people, somebody is going to take advantage of you. They are going to take what you do for granted. They're not going to care. But you know what? There will also be those that aren't going to take you for granted, and they are going to care, and it is going to work, it is going to help, and it is going to change things in their life, and it is going to be a good witness to them. And you know what? That makes all the other stuff worth it, doesn't it? That makes everything worth it. Look. In a church of any size, I don't want to be offensive, I just want to tell the truth. In a church of any size, you're not going to have every single member, every single attendee coming for the same reasons. Even if the majority of the people in the church come because they are hungry, they're thirsty, they desire the things of God, they want the Word, they want to change, they want to grow. You get 30, 40, 50 plus people, you're going to have one or two who are coming out of habit. It's going to happen. You're going to have some that come just because they like the fellowship and to be with their friends. And hey, we'd rather have you here than anywhere else. But let's just be honest. You teach school. You've got 30-some kids in a class, and you have a big group of them that want to learn, and some of them just don't. You go to work, and some people want to work, and some people just don't. It's like that in church, too. Some people just, not everybody has the same motive and the same desire. Some come because it's the best nap they get all week. What I'm saying is not everybody comes with the same desire and the same. Okay, so what should a pastor do? Should he concentrate on the ones who maybe aren't coming for the right reason? Should he concentrate on the ones who aren't as hungry as the others and get discouraged and say, well, it doesn't even matter? Or should he just be faithful to what he's been called to do and preach the Word and minister to everybody? And those that want it will receive it, and they will grow, and God will work in their lives, and those that don't won't. And you just keep loving everybody and trying to help everybody, and those that, you know, it'll take hold with some people and some people it won't. But how crazy, how ludicrous for a pastor to say, you know what, there's a handful of them in there that just never, and they won't. Yeah, and there's always gonna be somebody, and maybe that person never will. But you know what? That doesn't stop you from doing what you need to do, does it? A teacher doesn't give up on the whole class just because a few kids want to goof off and mess around and don't want to learn. They keep loving them and trying to teach all of them, and the ones that are going to learn are going to learn. Right? Okay? You say, boy, I've helped this one and this one and this one and this one, and I've tried to be good to that one, and I tried to encourage that one. And what do we do sometimes? We concentrate on the two or three that stabbed us in the back. The two or three that went and gossiped about us. The two or three that ran us down. You know, the two or three that we paid their rent, or you paid their light bill or whatever, and you know, then 2 months later, because you preached on something they didn't like, a bunch of mean people down there. What are we going to do? Are we going to concentrate on that? Or are we going to say, no, we're going to love everybody, we're going to do the best we can, take care of everybody, and you know what, if some people want to take advantage and and don't want to, they want to take it for granted. You know what? We're not going to let that steal our joy. Because we know that there's a few here that appreciate it, and it helped this person, and they were thankful. And you know what? When we helped that person, it sparked something in them, and then it made them turn around a year later when they were able, and they helped somebody else in the same way. You see, our joy relies so much on where we have our eyes and what we're focusing on and what we're dwelling on and what we're paying attention to. But you give of yourself and you love people and you help people and you don't concentrate on the people. You don't concentrate on the people that stabbed you in the back. You just say, you know what, that's when you help this many people and you give of yourself, that's going to happen, but that's all right. I'm just going to keep going and keep giving of myself because I know it's helping somebody along the way. And that's where some of our joy comes from. That's where some of our joy comes from. Help 10 people. Okay? Help 10 people. And nine of them stab you in the back. And you'll find that the gratitude from the one who didn't was enough to make you forget all about the other nine. And to make you want to go on and help the next 10, and then the next 10, and then the next 10. So we derive joy, first of all, from just remembering I'm saved. I'm going home. I'm born again. My joy is full. And then I derive joy from, because I'm saved, helping other people and giving of ourselves. Man, I'll tell you what, you ever wanted to be a help in a way that you couldn't? You ever feel like a taker and you wish you ever sit around saying, man, I wish I could do this. I just wish I could do it. Let me explain what I mean to you. I am so thankful for the people that God has put in my life along the way that have helped me in certain areas. When I have car trouble, I've had, you know, when we lived in Spencer, we have some good friends that lived about five, they're still good friends, but they're back in Spencer. And he was a mechanic, and the Lord just blessed us. He blessed us with their friendship, but another blessing was, anytime something went wrong on the car that I couldn't fix, I got my parts through him, so I got them wholesale, and he would do the job or help me do the job, and because I couldn't do it. And you know, God has put people like that in my life, and I don't know about you. I'm just not very skilled at any one thing, and so I say to somebody, well, if there's anything I can do for you, and honestly, church, I find myself thinking, what? I'm making the offer. Just ask me. I'll do whatever. But I don't know what in the world I could possibly do for you. Well, you know what? We're going to be building a barn next week. I'll be there to tote lumber. I can't cut a straight line, and I can't figure very well, but I'll be, you know what I mean? I'm just one of those guys that I feel like, man, I'm not really specialized in anything. Or maybe you would like to be a financial blessing to somebody, but you say the finances just aren't there. I wish I was the guy that when the missionary came through and said we need to buy this bus or something. I wish I could step in and do more than I could, but that's just not my area. You ever have a desire to want to? But look, church, here's the thing. You be obedient to God and His Word, and there'll be a place for you to be a help and a blessing to somebody. God's not going to let you miss out on that joy just because you don't know how to build houses and rebuild engines and you don't know how to paint very well, and when you clean the house, it looks worse than it did before you started. And God's not going to... Look, there is. You have that desire. There will be something. There will be something that God will allow you to do. And don't underestimate. Do not underestimate the importance of being that person who's able to pray, being that person who's able to write a card. You know, some of you have given me cards, and I still have every one of them. Some of you have given me cards, whether it was just out of the blue or it was birthday or something like that, that reading them was such an encouragement and just helped me, you know, get up and get going and everything. And don't underestimate things like that. Don't underestimate. You say, I can't get out and do much. Hey, don't underestimate picking up the phone and checking on your brothers and sisters in Christ and just saying, hey, can I pray for you this week or something like that. Look, you want to be a blessing to people, and God will help you find a way to be a blessing to people. And what you'll find is, in being a blessing to people, you'll find that you derive so much joy from that. If the desire of your heart is, not if you have an impure motive, but if your motive is, look, Christ loves me and he loves all these people and I want to help these people and do what I can, you can't imagine the joy that comes from that. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. There is joy in knowing. Look, you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Where does that come from? Part of it is coming from knowing that because I have the Spirit, that means I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. And another part of that is because we love. You see how these build on one another? We love. We're saved, so we love. We love, so we look out for one another and care for one another. And then that cultivates joy. It's like a domino effect. That cultivates joy because I love, I want to be a blessing to people, and then that brings joy as I'm a blessing to others, and it all just builds. It all just builds and builds and builds. So you say, boy, I'm missing the joy in my life. Well, it could be, let's take a look at two areas. If you say, Pastor, that joy is just, it's missing. It's missing. I'm not really bitter. I'm just, I don't have the joy. You know, I'm just kind of troubled. And all right, let's take stock. Let's take inventory. Let's see what's wrong here. First of all, when was the last time you thanked God? Before you thanked Him for anything else, when was the last time you thanked Him? And not only thanked Him, but dwelled and meditated upon the simple fact, that very first fact, that He saved you from eternity in hell. Still, I just don't have the joy. Well, what do you think about salvation? Has it gotten old? Or do you still, as the song says, love to tell the story? And you know what? Sometimes we just get there because we just do. We just get busy and we just get... You know, you're not always a filthy, dirty wretch because you needed to be reminded. Sometimes we just need to be reminded because, you know what? We've just been busy and we've been working hard and we just forget to stop and think. But you say, boy, that... Pastor, that joy. When I come into church, I'm just kind of, yeah, I'm here again. It's more of a gotta go to church than get to go to church. Yeah, I'm just kind of here. Well, come on. Have you forgotten why we come here? We come here because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We come here because we're not going to hell. And we want to be who He wants us to be. And we want to tell others how not to go to hell. That'll give your joy a boost, won't it? That'll hook the old cables up and rev up the engine. When was the last time, if you're missing that joy, when was the last time we stopped and thought, and look, I do it. Come on, we probably all do this. When was the last time we stopped? You know, the Bible tells us, don't be afraid of that word meditate. Meditate is not crossing your legs and sitting on a mat and listening to monks chanting in the background and humming with your eyes closed. Okay? Don't be afraid of that word meditate. To meditate upon something just means to think deeply and center in on something. And the Bible tells us that we are to meditate upon His Word. When was the last time you just stopped and thought about salvation? Not just, boy, I'm glad to be saved, but when was the last time you stopped and thought of what you were saved from, what you were redeemed from, what Christ actually did to redeem you? You know, brother, different people respond in different ways. We don't all respond in the same way, but we should all have that joy. It might come out. Your joy might come out in a laugh. Your joy might come out in tears on your face. It might be quiet, but the joy should be in there. It doesn't come out the same way all the time. Brother Tracy Killinger, just his situation, the type of man that he is, I'm surprised he hadn't been in a wreck yet. He'll be going down the road and he'll just be thinking about salvation and he'll just start weeping or start shouting. You say, oh, I'm not a weeper. You don't have to be a weeper. It's not the same with everybody, but the joy ought be. It might not come out the same way, but it ought be in there within all of us when we just stop and think about salvation. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, I do. I don't take that for granted, but still there's something going on with my joy. Okay, are you serving others? Are you serving others? And not just, are you doing something to help in the church? That's a help, but you know, we all need help throughout the week. Are you praying for one another? Are you lifting each other up? Are you coming to one another and saying, hey, I've noticed this. Is everything okay? Is you need some help here? Is there something I can do? Or are we serving one another? I don't think we have. If we're noticing that something's wrong with our joy, right there is where we need to start. Because we're supposed to have joy just because we remember that we're saved and because we care about other people and put other people before ourselves. So if there's something lacking there, it's a pretty good chance we have kind of gotten used to that. Maybe amazing grace, we have forgotten just how amazing it is. And maybe we've just stopped. Not always that we quit loving each other or quit caring, but maybe we just haven't been serving. Maybe we haven't been stepping up and looking out for each other. Look. You don't know who needs you this week. And it may be somebody that you say, boy, they're awful needy. They sure need a lot. That's all right. That's what we're here for. And you know what? I'm going to be needy one day. And you're going to be needy, and then you're going to need those prayers, and you're going to need that boost, aren't you? But how about this? How about, boy, you know what? That person's awful needy. They just always seem to be needing something. Before I got saved, before you got saved, you never met a needier person. Because you know what we needed? We needed to be saved. We needed somebody to die for our sin. We needed an answer. You didn't get any needier than us, did you? We all had the greatest need. Okay, so this brother over here, he needs a little more prayer this week. That's okay. That's all right. That's what we're here for. And that's how we can have that joy. Man, I'm saved. I'm saved. And not only that, I get to help people and I get to love people and I get to be a blessing to somebody. That brings about joy in our lives. We'll stop there with that. And then next time we'll move on to peace. By the end of the year, we'll get to temperance and